Thank you to the praise team for leading us so well. We're continuing through the book of Romans, and we're finishing chapter 3 this morning, looking at verses 27 through 31. And what we're coming to is one of the conclusions, and Paul will jump into the application of this glorious truth that we are justified by grace through faith. So we're going to look at this great implication and dwell on that. But first, let's look at the text itself. So I want to invite you to stand with me as we read from God's Word. We're going to be reading verses 27 through 31. You can follow along on the screen or in your own Bible. Starting in verse 27. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, you, Lord, are our rock. Lord, nothing in our hands do we bring. Lord, empty to the cross we must cling, for it is not by our own doing that we are justified and saved, Lord, from your wrath. It is by your grace, the redemption purchased for us through your Son and his sacrifice. So, Lord, as we look at this glorious truth, Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear the critique so that we might, Lord, more closely cling to Christ, that we might bring more glory to you. And, Lord, that the lost, those who do not know, Lord, this salvation, Lord, would see you. They would see your grace. And they might know you through saving faith. Lord, we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. There's no room for boasting. Now, by a show of hands, I'm asking, I'm really asking. Who has heard a lot of boasting and comments about deserving to win elections this week? Okay, yeah, I finally got some hands up. So, not the only one living in this crazy world. Well, I've got some good news today. Today, we are talking about one election that really matters. One in which there is absolutely no room for boasting, and that's good news for each and every one of us. The difference between the world and the gospel is very clear when we think about it in those terms, those biblical terms. The good news that we have, that there is grace for sinners like you and me. There's grace for us, and a part of that grace is the fact that, just as we just sang in Rock of Ages, we bring nothing to that cross, but what's given us is everything that matters. I wanted to start just by reading one of Paul's own summaries of this very truth, because I feel like it would help us to just jump right into why there's no room for boasting. So he starts out his letter to the church in Ephesus, the very church that he's probably writing from as he's writing to the church in Rome. And he says this, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Now, isn't that good news? That's a message of unity, of hope that I can get around. That's the message of this good gospel. And here's the thing. In the midst of that good news, this good news that we just read, both in Romans and in Ephesians, in that good news, there is absolutely nothing for you and I to gloat about. Nothing. Nada. None at all. We've just spent months talking about the unrighteousness of men like you and me. We've seen our unrighteousness put on display. We've seen how we have turned to other gods, how we have spurned the glory of God, the glory that he is due for our own glory and for the things of this world. We've seen this unrighteousness, and then Paul declares, because remember this letter, it's about the righteousness of God revealed. God demonstrates his righteousness, as we looked last week, by being the just and the justifier. In that unrighteousness, in his righteousness, he must punish sin, or he would fail to be righteous. But in order to save us, to demonstrate his love and his righteousness even more, he sends his own Son, God in the flesh, to die in our stead, and then becomes the just and the justified. God provides for us a righteousness not our own through the reconciling, propitiating death of his Son. There's nothing for us to claim, no reason, no ground to stand on for us to claim any confidence in ourselves. Paul says there is no room for boasting. It is excluded. So he's saying this all at the end, and he's saying it right after that statement that God, he did all of this. He's worked out this salvation in this way through Christ, through his Son, so that he would be the just and the justifier. It's so that he might demonstrate his immense worth despite our sin. So that means, as he makes that statement, then he says, what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. There's no place for it. There's no room for boasting in the church. There's no room for pride in the church. But I can't say that it's not still present. But if we look at what Paul is saying here, that there's no room to boast because God is the one who justifies, This means that if you ever see boasting coming from the mouth of a professing believer, boasting of any type, that is an unchristian act. And specifically, though, any type of boasting that claims that because you are something or that you have done something, that because of that God has given you salvation, that kind of boasting is straight from hell. God didn't save you because there was something good about you or me. He saved us because of His great grace and love. If according to what Paul has made clear here, and there's no beating around the bush, there is no room for boasting. That means then that the moment we embrace pride, the moment we embrace pride in our position, pride even in our faith. Now that should be, we should recognize the oxymoron that is. But the moment that we demonstrate pride, we begin to obscure the good news of the gospel. Now I think we're so saturated by the culture that we live in and the culture of pride that it is, that we need help understanding the ramifications of it. We need help understanding the ramifications of pride, of boasting, of failing to see that this is by God's grace alone. John Owen had this wonderful summary as he was talking about this very doctrine, the doctrine of justification by faith. He says, until men know themselves better, they will care very little to know Christ. Until men know themselves better, they will care very little to know Christ. I want us to examine, and then this morning, the consequences of boasting. We've worked through this doctrine to see what Paul is saying here in Romans 3, that this is God's grace extended to us, that God has worked out our salvation to prove His righteousness, and He's overwhelmingly done so that we would see we bring nothing to the table, so that we would not depend on ourselves, which is the very root problem of our sin, but instead would throw ourselves upon Him, throw ourselves at the foot of the cross, and there find life. So I want us to examine the consequences of boasting, to see then why we should have no room for it and make no room for it in the Christian life. Because it's a danger. It's unchristian. It is something that obscures the good news of the gospel. So we're going to look at four consequences of boasting. The first being this. Boasting steals glory from God. Boasting steals glory from God. Paul says, look, what has God done in verse 26? He's provided salvation so that He might demonstrate His righteousness. And this salvation comes to us not by anything that we've done, but by a law of faith. He says, not by a law of works, no, but by the law of faith. For we hold, he says, that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And what's the purpose in that? Because, one, Paul's been working through this beginning of Romans. If we have a false understanding of the law, then we will depend upon it for salvation. But that was never the intent or purpose of the law being given to Israel. The law was to point them to their need, to show their shortcomings, and to show God's promises that He made, that He would provide a way. But you see, when we boast, we claim to be living under the law. A law of works. A law where we say, look at what we've done. when we do that, we fail to see just how far we fall short. By works, no man is saved. Salvation comes apart from the law through a work not done by us, and it's given as a gift to us who are undeserving of that grace to demonstrate God's glory. For us to claim that we've done something to earn God's grace is an oxymoron. It's contrary to the very point, because grace is something undeserved. Salvation comes by faith so that God receives all the glory. It is done this way so that God receives all the glory, because that's the very thing that we were attempting to take from Him through our sin. So God receives all the glory as He rescues sinners, and we have done nothing. But any attempt by us to say, one, places ourselves under the law of works and condemns us, but also attempts to steal God's glory by saying, look, it is by something we've done, and it refuses to acknowledge just how bad we are. But you see, our sin condemns. We just read in verse 23, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, our only hope is that we are justified by His grace as a gift. If salvation was by the law, then we would have no hope. But this is the good news. Justification by faith, it upholds the law, but not by any effort on our part, but instead it is upheld by Christ. Our faith is set on Christ, who's kept the law when we didn't. So to boast about our salvation, to boast even about our faith, is ridiculous. But it's not just ridiculous, it's offensive to the gracious God who has loved us when we did not deserve it. So therefore, there is no room for boasting, and there's no room for pride for us as Christians. Now, when we think about this, we need to think, well, what is the culture that should exist among Christians, among born-again believers who've trusted in Christ? We of all people should be the most humble. And when people disagree with us, and this is a hard truth that I don't get right, but when people disagree with us, our humility should catch us and make us look at ourselves first, but then look only to God, only to Christ as our hope, as our justification. And we should understand why people who don't know Christ don't understand or see it, because they need grace just like we do. But Paul says, what becomes of our boasting? Is it not incredible? There's a million implications to this doctrine, to this good news. But the first one that Paul goes to, let's get it clear, we've got no room to be prideful, to boast. We are recipients of grace. You see, Paul wants to make known the righteousness of God in saving sinners. But there's no room for boasting in this good news. You see, this boasting, it steals glory from God, but this boasting, when we fail to acknowledge that this salvation is by grace through faith, this boasting leads others and it leads ourselves astray. Now, the example we see, this boasting, it's through a misuse of the law, through looking at the law of works that Paul talks about here in the text. When we embrace that, so boasting depends upon the law of works, because it depends upon the fact that we could do something, which we know is not true. But when others misuse the law, when we misuse the law, we look a lot like the Pharisees, attempting to justify ourselves by our actions, by our deeds. But here's the reality of that. When we attempt to try to justify ourselves by our actions and by our deeds, we take on this enormous load of the law of works, and we try to grab on to as many things as we can to justify ourselves, but the moment we're grabbing on to these things that we think are good, that we can justify ourselves by, we're blind to all of this over here. But the thing that we're most blind to is the very fact that it encourages pride to try to grab on to works, to put on display what we've done. But we've got no room to be prideful. Now, a modern look at this is those who embrace a very legalistic way of living, those who embrace the fundamentalism that breeds pride and contempt for those who don't know the truth. But just think for a moment about the implications of this as a broad picture of the church and how we are to engage a lost culture, a lost world around us. If there's no room for boasting, that means when we engage the lost around us, the one thing they need to see the most is humility so that they might see the glory and the grace of God in salvation. They need to hear what is wrong. They need to hear the same condemnation of the unrighteousness of men that we just heard in this passage, but they need to know, look, we are guilty too, but our hope is not in what we have done, but what in Christ has done. That's how we can be justified. But when we boast, we lead others astray by making them look to the law of works. And that's a dead end. That's a condemning road. If you watched Pilgrim's Progress with us 2 weeks ago or have been reading through the book along with us, that's the village of morality with legalism who lives on top. And it says he's got Moses up there. But we saw that when they had all those tablets of stone being just more and more, just kept coming. He said, the only way you can get that burden of sin off your back is by embracing all these rules and living as much as these, but all they do is condemn all the more, and inevitably they will kill, not save. Boasting embraces the law of works, and boasting leads to death, not just for ourselves, but it leads to death for others as well. Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, was addressing these very things. He said in chapter 2, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. You've done nothing to earn grace, because that's completely contrary to the term. Done nothing to earn this salvation. It is by God's grace. Don't boast about it. You'll condemn yourself, but you'll condemn others by pointing them to a false gospel. Thirdly, this ties right back into this second point, though. Boasting creates a toxic culture, both outside the church and within the church. Boasting creates a toxic culture. See, we influence one another by our actions. And when we make our boasting common or even popular in our culture, and the fact that it is common and popular in our culture, are we really surprised then by the fact that we see more and more broken, angry, depressed, and miserable people all around us? Now, if you don't think there's math, there's plenty of studies out there. One said that approximately 70% of students today, as compared to 30 years ago, score higher on narcissism and lower on empathy than the average student did 30 years ago. So today, 70% higher. As we embrace a culture of pride, is it any notion that we have more and more hope in what we've done? But we have to realize that we might be guilty, and definitely are guilty, of promoting a culture of boasting if we take any type of pride in our salvation. If we take any type of pride in our life apart from what Christ has done. It creates a toxic culture where people are constantly looking to justify themselves, to prove themselves to others, and maybe even prove themselves to God, but they can't. It's a fruitless endeavor. Because Paul just said, we just read, not by works of the law. No one will be justified by faith, or justified by works of the law. It's only by faith. You see, verse 30 tells us, Paul says, he's dealing with this issue of the works of the law, or the law of works, or the law of faith, because the Jews are very concerned about this law and all these works, all these things that they think they've got to keep. They're worried about that, but they don't understand the purpose of the law and how it points them to Christ, how it's fulfilled in Christ. He says, if it were true that the law did, or that faith or salvation did come by works of the law, then there wouldn't be hope for the Gentiles. But he says, or is God the God of the Jews only? He says, no, he's not the, he is God of the Gentiles also. Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Essentially saying, look, the only means of salvation, because God is one. He's not different to anyone else. As Paul said earlier in Romans, he said he is impartial. God doesn't treat Gentiles and Jews any different. The only means by which they can be saved is by justification, by grace, through faith. God is one, and he justifies the circumcised and the uncircumcised through the same means, faith. And this faith is a gift. So we can't embrace a culture, or a culture that does embrace boasting, embraces pride in anything, thinking that we deserve this salvation that we've been given. And if that roots not just in, we got to see that if we boast or have any kind of confidence in our salvation that has anything to do with us, it inevitably breeds and leads to boasting elsewhere in life that is condemnable behavior. Because if we don't get humbled by this, then we won't have a foundation of grace on which to build. We'll still be continuing to build on pride. But you see, this faith is a gift, and we must recognize that faith is a gift, or we will inevitably build a culture of pride. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, verses you may well know, but we need to hear yet again. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, there's the main point of that is so important, but if you don't get verse 10, you realize just how far that grace and that refusal to boast, that essential nature of humility goes. It is by the gift of God. It is not of your own doing. No one may boast, because we are his workmanship. That means he's the one at work in us, but we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So even the very things that we are to be walking in are things that we didn't bring about, but that God has prepared for us. So our good works that we do aren't something to take pride in, but something that we are to do because God's given them to us and prepared them for us, and that's what we were created to do. So we can't even take pride in those things, and we aren't meant to. In the moment that we do, we again obscure the good news of the gospel, that by grace we are saved through faith. This faith, it itself is a gift, Ephesians makes clear. And who boasts about gifts? Who boasts about gifts? Later in Galatians, Paul says in chapter 3, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" It says, "Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him as righteousness." A toxic culture of boasting, it's not just detrimental to the church. It's anti-Christ and it's anti-gospel. A toxic culture of boasting obscures the good news of the gospel. So therefore, we should look at Paul's words here and say, boasting in my life, in our church, it's excluded. Pride has no place. Our confidence is not our own. It's by grace that we are saved. My last point I want us to see is that all this is not only fulfilled in Christ, but it's exemplified in Christ. Boasting, it makes you like Satan, not Christ. Still, a pastor friend of mine working through Philippians had this to say, but it applies directly to this, and we're going to look at Philippians in a second. He said, "You are never more like Jesus than when you are putting others first. And you are never more like Satan than when you are putting yourself first." Boasting inevitably is putting ourselves first. Boasting makes us like Satan, not Christ. Did Jesus boast? Did Jesus claim the rights and privileges that he actually deserved? Reading Philippians 2, Paul, in exhorting the church in Philippi, said, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." And he goes to the great Christ hymn and demonstrates how Christ set aside his privileges, set aside his rights, refused to boast, which he had every right to do, but instead was humiliated to the point of death, even death on a cross, the death of a slave. Jesus boast? No. So do we have any reason to boast? No. You see, this is contrary to the world. It's contrary to the world that we live in. Yet, we see, I hope you see, what God makes so clear in His Word. Our hope is not in anything that we do. Our hope is in what Christ has done. And this is going to cost us in this life, especially in a world which prides itself on pride, in which you assert your dominance, you assert your rightness in order to move ahead. And this doesn't mean that we don't advocate for the truth. This doesn't mean that we don't advocate for that which is good and just and right. But this does mean that when we advocate for those things, we always do so from a position of humility ourselves, because we were once against all that was good and just and right. And we know that our only hope is the one who is good and just and right. So we advocate for that. We advocate for that truth from a position of humility and a position where we have no confidence in ourselves, but we have every confidence in Christ. And what does that look like? That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like standing up for that which is good and just and right, even when it will cost us here and now, because we know where our security lies. It lies in what God is going to do, what He has already done through Christ, but in the fact that He is going to one day judge all things, and He will make all things new. That is why faith is essential, but we have to see in the midst of that, that faith is not just assent to an idea. Our faith is trusting in God that He has kept and will keep all of His promises. See, the moment we depend on ourselves, we're not trusting God that He keeps His promises. We're not having faith. So this is an invitation. This criticism of boasting is an invitation in and of itself to have faith in Christ and not yourself. You see, the good news for you, the good news for me, is exactly this. We don't bring anything to the table. We don't bring anything to the table. That's the good news, because we don't bring anything to the table, but what awaits us there by the grace of God is righteousness that's not our own, but it's been given for us, given to us, and with it life and life everlasting. The good news of the gospel is that it is by grace through faith. The good news for you and me is that we can't earn it on our own, but that it is freely given to us. But we must recognize, as Paul says, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. Because any type of boasting is a claim against faith, because we've put trust not in God but in ourselves. But this is good news. If you've never trusted in Christ, that table, it's open. I encourage you, approach it in faith. And He says, righteousness and life ours through Him. Today, this good news that it is not by your works, not by your effort, means that you can come to the table regardless of your past. You can come to the table regardless of how you have participated in death. Because the righteousness that is there for you is not a righteousness of your own, but it has been accomplished by grace, by God's redemption that He's brought about through His Son. What He calls for us to do is to turn from trusting in ourselves, to realize that boasting is excluded, and to trust in Him alone. You don't bring anything to it. None of us has reason to boast except in Christ and what He has done for us. Let's not be a people who boast. Let's realize that the grace shown us is the grace that we are to show others. Just think to the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. We've been shown grace. We are to show grace. And we do that by pointing people to Christ and His work, not to our own. And you know what? No matter what comes our way, we can do that, and we will continue to be able to demonstrate faith in even greater ways and be able to glorify God through our trusting in Him, because we know that which is to come. A righteous judgment. The elimination of sin and evil. And an eternity knowing our Savior, knowing our Creator, apart from sin. And all this, not because of what we've done, but because of God's grace. So I want to encourage you today, if you've never thought of faith this way, if you've never trusted in Christ, trust in His work by refusing to trust in your own. Look to His sacrifice for you and know that He promises to give life to all who believe in Him. Let's pray.